So we are in our second week of our August summer movie series. Next week, I just want to share that we're going to be focusing on the movie Dear Evan Hansen. And if you haven't seen the movie yet, I just want to share with you that it does involve the topic of suicide, and that we will be talking about that in worship. And so I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that, so that you can make choices based on where you are at personally in your lives and what you need right now to have a life-giving experience. Last week, our movie was Coda, which was just such a powerful movie, but then just a wonderful example of this topic. Oops, sorry. There we go. Thanks, Paul. Coda was just a wonderful example of the way in which we come of age in communities through a process of letting go of who we thought we were or who we were told we were supposed to be, so that we can be in relationship with the person we were born as. That a lot of coming of age is really about undoing who we thought we were in a community. And so today, the half of it is a great follow-up to that message. Oh, sorry, Paul. Do you want me to switch mics? Okay. So the half of it is a great follow-up to Coda, because it's really about inserting the energy, role, and experience of love in that coming of age experience. So, and I feel like this might be the most relatable message in all of these movies, because it's something that whether you have children or you haven't raised children in your home, we all go through this very personal and devastating and discouraging experience where we realize that what we thought love was isn't actually what it is. And that's not something that, unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not sure, stops when we turn 19 or 20. It just keeps going. It's like these waves of excitement and rejoicing, and then this pullback of the wave where it shows off what's underneath the ocean's floor. And we understand more deeply what love is. And so for me, this whole beginning of the naivete of love and what love is really begins in the scripture. And so let's go ahead, Carlos, and show our scripture video.
It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for the prophecies, they will pass away. As for the tongues, they will cease. As for the knowledge, it will pass away.
So how many of you have either had this read at your wedding or seen it read at a wedding, right? It's like the go-to passage for all weddings. And why not? Because it's like the most beautiful, hopeful passage in the Bible about what love is. Like, love is this brilliant and beautiful thing. And in our movie, this is like flipped on its head, but Ellie Chu, who is our main character, has had an experience in her life where, not when she's 18 or 19 or 20, like so many of us, does she realize that her parents are this thing called human. Does she realize that love doesn't mean that we're able to protect people around us from all harm, that we're able to show this perfect model of what it means to love unconditionally and without negative emotion. But Ellie Chu realizes at an early age that love is real and hard and deep and painful when her mother passes away. And while that's not a part of the movie and that they go through it and show it, it's lingering in everything that she says or she does. She introduces the movie in this voiceover monologue by explaining the themes of the story, talking about halves and souls and romance, and how she really doesn't believe in any of it. She says that, in case you haven't guessed, this is not a love story, at least not where anyone gets what they want. Which only has meaning beyond the cynicism of a young teenager if you understand the pain and the loss that she has suffered at such a young age. That there's no explaining to an elementary school person where their mother went and why they had to go there. That love isn't supposed to be that way. That love hopes all things. Love conquers all things. Love never leaves. And Ellie Chu says, in the face of such deep grief and great loss, the reality of the undertones of love, that she should have never had to realize so young, but finds words to, that love is messy and horrible and selfish and bold. And so this week, it's the process through which we come to understand love through experience, hard experience, discouraging experience. That romance as completion, an achievable characteristic to master a high-level relationship status on Facebook. That none of this is what love is. And that our experience as children, where we slowly or suddenly or shockingly realize that our parents love us fully in incomplete ways. The vulnerability our parents show us. The moment you see your parent first cry. The moment you see your parent lose something that they can't gain back. Or pick a fight on your behalf that they can't win. Slowly or suddenly or shockingly, we grow out of our understanding of love as this perfect completion of the world that sets us safely down a journey in a bubble of beauty and brilliance. At some point, the bubble pops. And we have to accept or shut down or close off the part of us that was so brilliantly and boldly open to love as children. This prayer video is a perfect example of that, right? We love the whole wide world. That important innocence and naivete of what love is so important for launching us into the world. And we're launched into the world to realize that love actually isn't a protection to pain. It's often the introduction to pain. But to shut down and close off denies love and also life. When we become self-denying, self-rejecting, self-neglecting, we are denying this core connection to our inner radiant self. We stop growing. We may grow up, but we refuse to grow out of who we were told we should be. Storyteller and scholar of mythology Michael Mead explains that in a strange way of the world, it is the orphan part of us, the long abandoned, often rejected element of our own souls that finds the true inspiration of our lives. From the dark cave of confused feelings and traumatic memories comes the next phase of the story trying to unfold within us. And we see this unfolding, this balance that our main character in the half of it explores, this great loss that initiates this involuntary exploration of what love really is. That it's unavoidable. She keeps saying to her English teacher, this is the last letter that she's going to write. And it's never the last letter that she's writing. There's always something more to say in love. That love is this unfolding story that whether we participate in it voluntarily or not, it continues to live within inside of us. And our choice is to remain connected or cut off. All of these little examples of love, an energy that is both interdependent and transformational. Eliason's letters to all of these newspapers on behalf of Paul about his taco sausage that he's so obsessed with. Paul throws a rock at Ellie's bullies. Paul expands the boundaries of love to include Ellie even when he understands the truth of who she is. And Ellie's dad makes the ultimate sacrifice that all parents must make and loves her daughter enough to give her the space to live her own life. This old understanding that love is these grand gestures that complete us or protect us slowly shifts into this gentle awakening that love is an inescapable pool of what it means to be alive in the world. The coming of age is also a coming into our own understanding of what it means to love and be loved. An understanding that how we experience and know love will evolve. That it's relational. That it's dependent on the space in between me and the next person, between the space within me that knows who I wish myself to be and knows who I am in the moment. The gap. Love exists in this gap and always is pulling us closer together. And this is actually beyond the projections of the weddings that we utilize this scripture in. This is actually what our scripture passage is trying to say. That love isn't the presence of perfection within ourselves or between 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 1 million people. That love is actually the energy that exists enabling us with the support of others who are linked in love to bear, to endure whatever comes along. And like Ellie says in the beginning of her movie, beyond cynicism and actually into truth, that love means that often we don't get what we want. Because what we thought we wanted shifts and changes as we fall more deeply in love with ourselves and more completely in love with the world. We begin to be nimble and fluid. Love breaks us down and builds us up 1 million times. And suddenly we see that when marriages fall apart, that can be love. When children grow up and we let them go, that is love. When we choose ourselves, our health and our well-being, that is love. Love enables us to bear all things, to endure all things, whatever comes along. And those endings are always without finality and always unexpected. But they are always wrapped in the presence of what Ellie's dad refers to as the best part. Throughout the movie, there's a scene, and Ellie will be sitting with her dad, eating a TV dinner, watching a movie. And he always draws her attention from the computer screen to the movie to say, "Shh, it's the best part." And we don't learn until the end of the movie the significance of those moments, that her mother believed that there was a best part to anything, a song, a story, a movie, and that her dad is keeping her mother's memory alive by drawing her attention to the best parts of life, which to me is a perfect example of God's work in our lives, always redirecting our attention to the best part in the hardest situations. That when loss has no meaning or no explanation, when there is nothing resurrectable about the trauma that we have gone through, there are spits and spurts and sprinkles of love that exist. And that if we can see this love and use it as rungs to a ladder to climb up and out of ourselves into a new person that we're inviting to be, we are open. We are open to become the next phase, the new chapter of who God's inviting us to be. Love endures and hopes all things. And our job is to anchor ourselves in the realities of gravity that pulls us down from the grand gestures into the everyday moments that remind us that we were created in a world as worthy of love. Amen.